Susan Hawk, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You've been back on the job now for a week. What have the last 7 days been like for you?
Well, they've been great the last 7 days. Coming home, coming back to work. I came back last Thursday and to my warm office, and the folks that work here are so fantastic. And it's such an amazing job while I was gone, and I was able to get well and then come back to work.
You spent a total of 2 months at the Menninger Clinic in Houston. You told D Magazine that at several moments you wanted to kill yourself. What was the treatment like?
It was 9 weeks of 5 to 6 hours of groups and one-on-one psychotherapy. It's about as intense as it gets every single day. And they want you to have leisure time and have time for yourself. You can go to the gym. You got to eat 3 meals a day, get 8 hours of sleep, take care of yourself. These seems like basic things, but when you're in a deep state of depression, those things don't matter to you.
Mm-hmm. Was there a moment where it kind of clicked for
you? Yes, there was a moment. My brother came to visit me, and I believe it was about the third week the time kind of run together. Mm-hmm. And I just said, let me go home. They're going to kill myself at home or going to kill myself here, so let's just let me go home. And then a nurse talked to me, and I thought, okay, it's not going to do any good to go home. So he came and talked to me the next day, and he made me promise him that I would try. Just start going to the groups, go into my individual therapy sessions, and just start talking. I hadn't talked to anybody in a very long time. So I went the next day, and I just started talking. And what I was amazed is that the people that were in the group with me as a professional in crisis were all people that were extremely successful in their jobs, mm-hmm. but personal life and that balance did not exist for them either. Many of them suicidal. They understood and they got it. And so just to be in a group setting where people understood it, that there were other people like me, and to realize that you're not alone because I had felt so alone, made all the difference for me. And that's when things started changing.
Your former administrative chief, Jennifer Bolito, was quoted as saying this: I don't even think Susan understands how severe her own mental illness is at this point. This is not something where you can go to treatment and come back and think everything is hunky-dory. Now that you have come back, how do you respond to that?
I think that's really unfortunate that is the way she feels about mental illness. I think that you talk to any renowned psychologist, therapist, individuals who treat mental illness know that you can suffer from major depressive disorder and be very successful. Some of our greatest leaders were diagnosed with depression. Martin Luther King, Abraham Lincoln. And to say that they weren't successful because they had depression or think that things are, as she said, hunky-dory. I think there's such a that shows you there's such a stigma that's still attached to mental illness. If I had cancer, would she say the same thing? If I had diabetes, if I had been diagnosed with MS, but I was capable of working, would the same thing be said? And I think that is just, it's unfortunate, because I'll tell you, I promise you, I love this job so much. I care about this, the courthouse, the criminal justice system. I've dedicated my entire adult life to it. And if there was a second or a moment that I felt like I was not capable of doing this job, I would step down.
A number of folks, people who spent decades at the courthouse, have lost their jobs on your watch. They were fired, they were forced to resign, left under pressure. That all happened during a time when you were dealing with this depression. Do you feel like you owe them something?
Well, there was a total of 5 people that lost their jobs or resigned were given the opportunity to resign. And we have over 400 employees that work here. So there was those individuals that did resign after I spoke to them, but I'd have no regrets about that. I've gone back and reevaluated every one of the firings and looked at it. Mr. Savage was the only one that I did regret the delivery.
Jeff Savage.
Regret the delivery of how that was handled. But he also, when he brought in, he apologized to me. And I thought, I get a second chance. So I gave him the second chance and the opportunity.
Is he going to come back?
He said he's waiting to finish out his term with Constable Williams because he gave him an opportunity to come work there, which I respect immensely that he's dedicated to doing that. And then in June 1st, he'll be given the opportunity to come back and retire here.
What about the others? Will you bring any of them back?
No.
So many people, voters, the people on your staff, have felt lied to at various times through this process. There was a time during the campaign you said you were having back surgery. It turned out you were in treatment. The month this summer when you disappeared without an explanation, at least at first.
The month this summer you say disappeared. when I left at the end of July, it was a life or death situation for me. My good friend, Mary Woodleaf, is the person that I reached out to, and she was put in a really tough position. She didn't know what to do. She can't release my medical information. Mm-hmm. Do we wish it was handled differently? Absolutely, but it was a crisis situation at that time.
So how do you rebuild trust with people who felt lied to repeatedly?
Well, and I understand that, I'm going to do whatever it takes. It's not what you say, it's what you do. And I just want the opportunity to do my job.
What have you learned about that stigma over the last 6 months or so?
Well, I learned that people don't seem to treat it as a real illness, but at the same time, it's a disease. And I understand that this is an illness that I'll have to treat for the rest of my life, but it doesn't mean it's an either-or situation. I can still be successful and be the best district attorney that I can be and do all the great things that I set out to do and be diagnosed with depression.
Do you worry about a relapse?
A relapse. Well, that's what I spent the last 9 weeks doing, is learning what to do when you start having anxiety or you start feeling those signs of depression. Immediately, you address it. This is something that went on for me for years and was never treated. It's not like I just was elected district attorney and this happened. These were things that were happening to me over a period of years, not knowing what it was, going undiagnosed, going untreated. Now this is something that I'll have treatment for the rest of my life. I will talk to a psychologist every week. I go to therapy. I will take medication for the rest of my life. And I'm not ashamed of that.
If you had it to do over again, would you have run for district attorney?
Yes. I wouldn't change anything. As far as the only thing I regret is anyone feeling like that they were misled or lied to. That's what I would change. But running for district attorney, I was extremely successful as a judge and as a prosecutor. So I know what I'm capable of doing. And if I didn't think I could do it, I would step down.
What's the one lesson you've learned over the last year?
Be yourself. And if you don't love yourself or you don't feel good about yourself, then you cannot be successful. That's the most important thing. Be yourself. Whatever that takes to get there, get there.
Susan Hawk, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.